Welcome to the Entrepreneur MD podcast, the audio MBA for entrepreneurial doctors and healthcare professionals who rock at taking care of their patients, but could use a hand taking care of business. Every week, we cover topics that help you succeed in the business of healthcare. So tune in and subscribe for exciting conversations and interviews with innovative guests. And now, here's your host, Christopher Huey of Fastlane Solutions, and his co-host, Dr. E of Practice Growth Formula.
Well, folks, welcome back to the Entrepreneur MD podcast. Thank you for joining us again. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. E, and today we are going to be talking about intentional marketing, marketing with purpose, not marketing reactively, which is a habit I think that a lot of people fall into. I know I've done that, certainly. So Dr. E, start us off, please, if you wouldn't mind. Talk to us about intentional marketing and what that means for doctors and practice administrators.
Well, I think it applies to pretty much any person who owns and operates a business. My mentor says that when you are a business owner, there are two things that you cannot delegate. One of them is the checkbook, and the other one is the marketing. And he says that in a way that you're not supposed to be the one doing the actual marketing or executing it, but you are 100% responsible for the marketing strategy and overseeing that your team is executing upon it. Now, going back to the topic, it's funny because you and I were just talking about this, and this is something that both you and I are guilty of, and I know for a fact that many of my clients are guilty of, because that's exactly what they hire us to help them do, and it is to have an actual marketing strategy and not just try to get patients, which is their usual strategy. So what's your marketing strategy? We just try to get patients. And they do that by posting on Facebook, and they do that by hiring a social media manager, and they do that by sending out an email blast, and they do that by buying Google ads or by buying an ad in a magazine. And as you and I were just discussing, that's very reactive. You know, if I need patients, I throw money in for ads. If I don't need patients and I'm doing okay, I don't market. And how many of us are guilty of that? It's like, oh, I'm not thinking about advertising because I'm okay. I've got clients, or I've got patients, or I've got a full schedule ahead of me. And then suddenly you find that you don't have that, and you start panicking. So you start throwing money out at Facebook ads, at Google ads, at, you know, doing a seminar, or you want to do a webinar or anything like that. And that is actually telling you that you don't have a plan. You react to what the environment is telling you. And it's like what Jim Quick says, that you have to be the thermostat and not the thermometer, right? The thermometer is reactive. If the temperature rises, the thermometer goes up. If the temperature lowers, the thermometer goes down. The thermostat, on the other hand, is proactive. Whatever the thermostat is set to, that's what the temperature follows. And so we need to be very aware of that, that our marketing has to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. And that's why we need a strategy and a clear plan and a roadmap to execute it. And once you have a roadmap and you know what's the next step you need to be taken, it doesn't matter what's going on in your practice. It doesn't matter if you currently have a full schedule or not. You know what the next step is.
I love that. And I especially love what you said there, saying that your marketing strategy is just go out and get more patients. That's like saying that your financial strategy is, when I'm running low on money, I go out and get more money. It's like, yeah, wouldn't it be nice if it were that easy? But it takes a strategy, right? When you run out of money, you need a strategy to earn more money. If you don't want to run out of patients, you need to have a strategy to proactively get them. And especially in case, I don't know, say, for example, a major global pandemic were to strike, just to take an example, and suddenly this very reactive model you had of marketing your practice collapses because the easy patients, the easy wins go away because of these circumstances. You have no strategy in place to reposition your practice. You're going to be in trouble. And by going to be, I mean a lot of practices are very much in trouble.
And I think it's not just about when, you know, a new pandemic happens or a new law is passed. This happened when I was still doing, consulting mostly with stem cell practices. And there was this new laws that were being passed where suddenly they wouldn't allow the purchase and the distribution of cellular products somewhere. So you might have had 10 patients lined up for that month of stem cell treatments, and suddenly you could no longer legally provide those treatments, or the Google ban that suddenly they said, you know, literally overnight, all your ads for Google were stopped for stem cells. And many doctors were relying on that. And again, those are kind of moments in which you have to react. You cannot just say, oh, well, you know, I don't care. It's fine because it's in my plan. My plan is just to continue advertising $5 a month. And suddenly Google said, yeah, but you can no longer advertise for this. What I'm trying to say mostly when I talk about a proactive strategy is to have very, very clearly defined goals and clearly defined steps to follow and milestones and metrics to be measuring and to trust the process and to walk it that way so that you're not just what happens to a lot of service providers, not just doctors, but pretty much anybody who provides a service and that's how they do their, you know, they make their living, whether it is an accountant, a coach, a consultant, a physician, a lawyer. If you're providing a service, a lot of the times what happens is that you're running your own practice or your own business and you get a client and you turn all your resources, your time, your attention to servicing that client. And it's great because you're being paid a retainer and suddenly you finish that project and you're done. And then the money stops because you didn't have a marketing strategy that was running in the background because you weren't worried about it. You have a client on retainer, right? But suddenly you finish there, you finish that client or the client decides not to renew or whatever happens. And now you need to once again pivot all your resources to let's get more clients. And then you get a client and you forget about the fact that you need a strategy and an ongoing stream of, in our case, patients. And so you get the patients and then you serve them and suddenly you need to go back and get more instead of saying, no, let's have a consistent stream also of leads of new potential patients or a way to also serve our previous patients. How can we continue serving them moving forward? And that's what I mean by being intentional, saying, okay, how can we continue serving more people despite the fact that I'm focusing my time and attention here? And that might be, I have a dedicated marketing budget that no matter whether rain or shine, full or empty, my practice, my books, I have a marketing budget that is going there. I have a person or persons ensuring that we have a system to collect leads and to nurture them and to bring them to a point where we can service them. Those are the things that I'm talking about.
And I see that not as only as directed towards finding new patients for the practice, but also engaging effectively with the current patient base and helping to drive better outcomes there through patient education programs. One of the things that I'm currently working on right now with a peer in the industry is going out and doing education programs for the Medicare patient base and really engaging the older patient base to help educate them on a lot of topics that frankly, they're struggling with. How many patients get stuck with giant medical bills because they didn't understand their Medicare supplement plan or they don't have an advanced care plan and they don't have a patient advocate to help them with more complex issues. So not just how can I get more patients, but how can I help my current patient base and grow the revenue that's coming from that while also driving better outcome for those very patients.
That's actually a very, very important point that you just touched because you don't just market to get new patients. That is one reason why a lot of us market, but your existing patients that you're currently serving, you need to market to them just as much as you do to the potential patients because these people, despite them, for instance, we see a lot of doctors who have the primary care model or they have the membership, the functional medicine doctor, they have a membership, right? And now they think that somebody signed up for it and all I need to do is make sure that I show up in their sessions in time and I answer their questions and we get their labs and we discuss that and I'm going to have them for 6 months and then they're going to automatically renew. No, I'm sorry, but you need to continue marketing to them throughout the entire process. You need to continue indoctrinating them so that you can build that emotional connection. Because what I always tell doctors, like, I know, you're saving lives. You're literally saving people's lives because you're keeping them healthier. You're preventing them from getting very, very sick and eventually dying. But unfortunately, that's literally what your patients are expecting.
That's the bare minimum.
that's par for the course. You're not doing anything extraordinary. That's the bare minimum the patient would expect. Like, well, I kind of expect you keeping me alive. So despite the fact that it is a huge thing, it is not outstanding. It is not remarkable. And remarkable means it's something that is worth remarking about, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not providing a kind of service, a kind of marketing, a kind of outreach, a kind of touch points with your current patient base, that will make them honestly remark to their friends and family about how great you and your practice are, you're not marketing to them. And the moment that their membership is up, the moment that they can, or the moment that something happens and they end up care, or the membership runs out, or they decide that they want to switch, or they have an opportunity to save a dollar or two, they are going to ditch you because you have not invested in building that relationship. And the reason you haven't invested in building that relationship is because you thought you had already won the battle by getting them to agree to becoming your patient. And now it was just a matter of charming them with your great personality, which is very valuable, but it's not nearly enough.
It's not enough. Well, it's the commoditization, if you will, of medicine. And if you have to find a way to differentiate, if you don't have a differentiator and you're no different than the doctor down the street, like you said, if you can save $5 going to the doctor down the street, then why wouldn't you? So I think we need to address the elephant in the room though here, Dr. E. And I hear this from doctors all the time. I bet you do too. There's a subset of doctors, at least here in the United States, that see terms like marketing as a dirty word. Like, I am the hello doctor. I went to medical school to be a healer, not to be some money grubbing businessman. How dare you talk to me about marketing? You know, it's a dirty word as far as they're concerned. And one of the things this whole podcast is dedicated to, not just this episode, but everything we're doing here, is trying to underscore the importance of having an understanding of the business of medicine. Because look, like it or not, folks, it's a business. I mean, it's not great. We can have whole long conversations about the ethics and values of healthcare as a business and as a commodity and whatever, but it's not going to change the reality of it. Big example I hear is doctors saying it's not fair that I'm subjected to Google reviews. Like, that's the same platform people use to rate their pizza delivery guy. It's not fair. You're right. It's not fair. In an ideal world, we would be using the same platform to rate our doctors as we use to rate the local restaurant. But like it or not, 70% of new patients who are looking for a practice are doing what? Looking at those reviews. So we can talk all day about how fair it is or not fair it is, but the reality is, folks, you're running a business, and marketing, having a marketing strategy is part of running a business. And if you're not doing it, then you are failing in your responsibility as a business person. I hate to be so blunt about it, but that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, that's right. And one of my online courses, when we come to this part of marketing, and I tell them, I said, I don't necessarily agree with it, but it is the reality. This is exactly what is happening. And we spoke about this on other episodes as well, right? On how doctors feel like it's not fair, but they feel like it's completely okay to rate the lawyers in a similar website, and it's completely okay to rate the accountants in a similar review site. So, you know, it's just a matter of where you're standing at. Now, going back to your question, in reality, when you think about marketing really is what other people think and say about you when you're not around. So talking about the reviews is incredibly important, because that's exactly the thing that people are getting to keep from their appreciation or their understanding or how they perceive you. Because whether we like it or not, patients do not go to the best doctor. They don't go to the best doctor right now. They didn't go to the best doctor last year. They didn't go to the best doctor 30 years ago. They've always gone to the doctor they perceive as the best. And those perceptions vary with time. Maybe 30, 40 years ago, the best doctor was the one who went to school in Harvard or Yale, or was working at the Mayo Clinic or at the Cleveland Clinic and whatnot. And a couple of years later, the best doctor was someone different. Today, in 2020, 2021 and beyond, the best doctor is the one that they get to connect to personally. That's why we emphasize so much on you need to build your personal brand. You need to become a media powerhouse, because you need to put out media. You need, I encourage doctors, I say, listen, in your office, as you're building out our office, you need to build a mini studio. One of the rooms has to be a mini studio where you can create videos, where you can create educational videos. You have a whiteboard, you can do webinars, you can host webinars from, you can record selfies, you can record podcasts. Because that's what's going to be required of you. It's no longer a matter of buying billboards and doing things like they used to before. And the doctors who hate the word marketing and who hate the word selling are the ones who used to be able to be perceived as good based on their credentials alone. They used to think, come on, I was top of my class. I went to Harvard. I graduated magna cum laude. I did all these things. Nobody cares about that today. And it is hard for a lot of doctors. Like doctors who are in their 50s and who are realizing this, that they're saying, well, I still got another 10 years before I should or I could, or I want to retire, but I don't like the fact that now I need to go out there and to sell and to market and to do these things. And truth of the matter is they were always marketing. The thing is they were marketing differently. And now they're being forced to do it in a way that adapts to the current landscape. So it's not a dirty word. I think that it's misunderstood. Most doctors, in my experience, they hear marketing and they immediately think advertising, which is just one tiny fraction of marketing. And basically what they don't want is they don't want their faces on billboards and then, you know, bus stops and everywhere else, as you see, you know, injury lawyers in America, but they have to market. I mean, there's no other way around it. And if somebody definitely says that and I don't want to market, I say, well, then you should start looking into buying a franchise of something or into flipping real estate or something, because
find something else to do with your life then, right?
Yeah. It's going to start looking harder and harder for you.
Yeah. Well, it's critical for the independent doctors. And this is why some, and it's a valid choice. It's not one I criticize. This is why some doctors prefer to be employees, nice, safe hospital system. And if they do, bless them. And I wish them all the best. But if you're going to be an independent practitioner, if you're going to have your own practice, you need to accept that it's a business and a business needs to be marketed. And you are the brand. You are the product, really. And if you're not building an intentional marketing plan to market yourself and build your personal brand, then I think you're always going to struggle.
I think you said a very important thing. You are the product and you're the one thing that cannot be commoditized, because the problem and what we're seeing a lot of doctors get upset about is the fact that their services are being commoditized and they're seeing how they're getting lists of how much they're going to get paid per procedure and how much they're going to get for reimbursements and what are the type of treatments that they can do. But the one thing that nobody can determine is how much is your time worth? How much is your expertise worth? Now, the problem is if you don't go out there and build yourself, your name, your expertise as the product that you want to sell, you'll have to accept the commoditized price that the rank that the market puts out for you. And that's just the way it is. There's no other way around it. If the market determines that a knee replacement should be paid at $500 to the surgeon, and you don't go out there and build your brand and show us why getting a knee replacement from you is worth $5,000 and not $500, I'm sorry, but your pay is going to reduce to what the market is okay paying for because you're a commodity.
Well, we see this with medical tourism. When patients see medicine as a commodity, they're going to chase it as a commodity, and they're going to get a cheap ticket down to wherever and go get that surgery because there's no compelling narrative that tells them this is why you should stay. This is why you should pay more. This is why I matter. This is why I'm better.
And that's the other important point. When you do that, you need to be okay knowing that there will be patients who are looking for the commodity. And your role is not to try to convince them to upgrade. That's the equivalent of saying, listen, if you sell Rolls Royces and somebody happens into your lot looking for a Ford, you're going to have a very hard time convincing them of why they should buy a Rolls Royce if what they're looking for is a Ford. So the same thing is over here. Doctors get too worked up, and most of us really, we get too worked up about, no, but I'm sure that I can convince them and this is why it's so much better and I've gone to all this schooling and I've gone, yeah, but sometimes people are looking for the commodity and that's fine. And that's the choice that we make. Like you said earlier, there's a lot of doctors who prefer to be employed. That's great. They're choosing to be commodities, and you can go over there and it's fine. And many of them make a good living. They figure out a way, or they like the system, or they don't mind seeing 30 patients in a day. That's fine. But if you don't feel like that, then you have to market yourselves, because otherwise you are a commodity until proven otherwise.
And you're so right about that, and understanding who you're, you know, in marketing, you talk about the persona you want to pursue in your plan. Who is your patient persona? What type of patient do you want to pursue? You certainly don't want to be pursuing the patient who's going after a commoditized product like that. I see this all the time in my business. As you know, what I do for a living is I consult my sell technology solutions and implement those into practices to help them run better and increase automation and get rid of a lot of the busy work. And I come across doctors on a fairly regular basis who are chasing a commodity. I just need a practice management suite. This one's $199 a month per provider. That one's $399. Therefore, I'm buying the one that's $199 because And people like that, I avoid them. It's one of the skills I've had to learn, is to identify those people and then walk away from them. Because I always say to people, look, I am not going to be the cheapest solution in the room, nor do I want to be, nor will I ever be. I want to be the one that adds the most value. That's my differentiator. I add the most value by reducing cost and increasing automation the most in the most efficient way possible. And if all you're concerned about is how much my monthly bill will be to you versus how much my competitor's monthly bill will be to you, please go see my competitor. I will give you their phone number myself. I will walk you over to their, I will walk you over to their office myself.
Yeah. If at the end of the day, the only thing that differentiates one from the other is price, that's just a race to the bottom. And that's a race you never want to win. And the same thing happens in medical treatments. I used to consult a lot with doctors who were doing elective treatments, so plastic surgeons, stem cell practices. And a lot of the times they're frustrated because they're like, well, somebody calls over here and they call and the receptionist answers the phone and they say, listen, you guys do Botox, right? Yes, of course. What can I do for you? What's your price per unit? And I say, well, you know what? That patient is looking for a commodity. They're fine. They're okay. The problem is not theirs. They're doing their job. They're saying, I'm looking for a commodity. I'm going to call every clinic in my zip code and figure out which is the one that has a commodity at the best price, period. They're doing their job. So don't get upset about that.
Oh, yeah. No foul. That's a certain type of shopper. And what you just have to decide is that the person I want? And some doctors may say yes, by the way, and that's also valid too. I would say though that those people probably belong more in the hospital systems, for example. So yes, it's a perfectly valid choice, but you just have to understand if that's someone you want as your ideal patient persona, or customer.
Exactly.
Persona.
And once again, it brings us back. It brings us full circle back to being intentional about your marketing. And your marketing involves attracting the right kind of person. That's what I tell them. I said, listen, the problem here is that you say that you want to attract this kind of person, but because you don't have a plan to attract this kind of person and you're just reacting, what is the kind of marketing strategy that you have? Sending out promos to your email list about 25% off Botox, or signing up in Groupons, or doing all that crap. Who's the kind of person that you're going to start attracting if you're doing that? And you might say, well, we only did that in the past. Sure, but now they're in your database. And now you're trying to sell them your high-end programs or your high-end products to these same people, right? Because that practice growth formula, PGF Lux, what we're doing is we're helping doctors build luxury practices, a practice where they can work with 10 patients and that's enough for their entire year, and it's a long-term commitment, and we help them design that. And one of the most important challenges, one of the most important things that we need to overcome with them is that mindset, that understanding that you're planning on going from seeing 100 patients in a month to seeing 10 patients in a year. So you're going to see a lot of the same person. Now, we need to really narrow down, number one, who's the patient who will want that kind of service? And number two, who's the kind of patient that you want to be hanging out throughout the year? And once we have that, then we become very, very intentional about the kind of person that we're looking for. And we carry out that strategy throughout the year. And like I said, the important thing or the difficult thing is helping them, coaching them, guiding them through this mindset shift of saying a lot of the people are simply not going to be right for this program. And that's okay. Your job is to guide them. Your job is to understand this. And if they're looking for a Ford, you cannot help them because you sell Rolls Royces now. You sell Bentleys. So you wish them all the best and you refer them to somebody who sells Fords. Maybe you have a friend who has a Ford dealership. You send them over there and they're on their way. So that is what I think is part of an important and an effective marketing strategy, is being very, very, very aware of who do you want to attract, how do you want to attract them, and then have a plan that you'll be able to execute consistently regardless of what's going on in your business.
That's great. So takeaways for our listeners here: be intentional about your marketing, understand who your ideal patient is, develop that patient persona, if you will, and then pursue those patients, and understand that you cannot be all things to all people. And most of all, to have a strategy, work with someone like Dr. E, or work with a marketing company to have an intentional plan strategy, and then work that plan consistently in good times and bad. So any other takeaways for our listeners, Doc?
I'm actually going to take advantage of the fact that you invited me to the podcast, and I'm going to plug in my business really quick. Now, but seriously, a lot of the times when I start talking about this, doctors will say, no, I have marketing, and I have a marketing person, and I have somebody who does these things. And so we put together something that we call the marketing diagnostic. And it's a 15-question quiz. It's just yes or no. It takes you about a minute and a half to complete it. And I don't even need to give them the answers after they've been answering them. I don't even need to give them the solutions for them to a lot of the times understand and say like, oh my God, I'm doing such a crappy job at marketing my practice. So if you want to go ahead and take it, you just go to pgf.me/diagnostic. So pgf.me/diagnostic, and we're going to leave the link to that in the description for this episode as well. And like I said, it literally takes you about a minute and a half, and you're going to find out whether you have a marketing strategy that's proactive or a marketing strategy, and I say strategy, quote unquote, that is just reactive. Is your marketing a thermometer or a thermostat? And I'm actually thinking that I'm gonna change the slogan for the diagnostic to that.
The marketing strategy thermostat, not the thermometer. I love that. That's a great resource. And we will put that out there to accompany the episodes for people who want to take advantage of that. I strongly recommend people do. Thanks, Dr. E, so much for your time today.
Thank you for listening to the Entrepreneur MD podcast, helping you succeed in the business of healthcare. Did you enjoy this episode? Make sure to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Remember that you can find the links to the show notes in this episode's description and in our website, theentrepreneurmd.com. That's theentrepreneurmd.com. Until the next time, this is the Entrepreneur MD podcast, helping you succeed in the business of healthcare.